Crow, you come and preach for us. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Would you take your Bibles now and open to the book of Matthew, chapter 15? Matthew, chapter 15. It's unusual for a church of this size to be such a friendly place. And I appreciate the fact that you are a friendly church. I've been here from time to time. I know some of you personally, although I don't admit it in other places. And yet, every time we come here, we very much feel at home. And I appreciate that. And I hope you never lose that. You know, people, there's a whole lot of people out there that rub shoulders with each other on a regular basis. And what they're looking for, particularly in a church, is somebody who really cares about them. And if you go up and shake somebody's hand and you show a genuine interest in them, that can mean the difference in their eternity. And so I commend you for your friendliness and the fact that you, at least to our family, you've always been very friendly. And we so appreciate that. Appreciate your pastor, too. I've known of him for a long time through my friend, Evangelist Dwight Smith. And then getting to know him and getting to fellowship. I even went to the gym and worked out with him one day. What a stupid thing that was. I couldn't move for the next 2 days. But at any rate, we have a relationship, and now I'm finally able to preach here. That's a blessing to me. I want to direct your attention now in Matthew chapter 15 to verse 21. I'd like to ask those of you that are able that we stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And our Father, we need your help this morning as we look into the Word of God. God, you brought me here at this time providentially, we believe. And Father, I pray that you would just take control of every other aspect of the service. Lord, we're so grateful for the music and for the Spirit that's been here this morning. And we ask that you do a work in our hearts, a work that we cannot explain by human explanation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. It was several months ago that I sat in my parents' home sitting at the computer. I had a lot of work to do. The Lord had come and provided a truck for me. I was young and I was going out into full-time evangelism, and so I needed a trailer. I had traveled to some meetings without a trailer, and I was convinced that the Lord indeed wanted me to have a trailer so I could keep my family together. There was one problem, though. I had a trailer picked out. I had spent several months researching the thing. I had been to all the places here in this state that manufacture them, at least all the major ones, and I had the trailer picked out. I even had a dealer picked out from which I would buy the trailer, but I did not have financing, and I needed financing. So I decided I would contact several financial institutions, getting their contact information off the internet, and I would see about them loaning me money. And so I got the financial contact information for some 20 or 24, something like that, financial institutions. Phone numbers mainly, and I was calling them and finding out, could they indeed loan me money? I only got to talk to 18 of the people that I got contact information for. 18 different times, 18 different ways, I got one answer that day. It was no. I found out, preacher, it had been better for me to rob 4 banks and break out of jail 7 times than to try to apply for financing with no credit. I mean, if I had defaulted on several other loans, well, the banks would have said, well, we'll consider you. I got all kinds of answers that day. One man in California said, well, you know, you can borrow the money at 25% interest. And I felt like saying, why don't you go swim to Hawaii? I'm not going to borrow the money at 25% interest. Another woman said, well, Mr. Crow, how much money did you make last month? Well, it just so happened that it was the summertime, and as a young evangelist, the summertime can be a little bit—it's a little bit lean financially. Not a whole lot of people are having revival meetings during the summer. And I said, "Well, man, my job is a little bit like a salesman. You know, some months a salesman will sell more than other months. And so I'd rather not tell you how much I made last month." She said, "Well, I understand that. How much money did you make last year?" I didn't want to tell her that either. But I did. I didn't lie. I didn't evangelistically tell her how much I told her the truth. And she kind of chuckled after I told her how much I made. She said, well, she said, Mr. Crow, she said, you have to understand. She said, an RV is a luxury item. If you are going to default on any loan that you might have in the event that you might not be able to pay, if you're going to default on anything, it's going to be the luxury item. And she said, I'm sorry, sir, but we just can't loan you that much money for a luxury item. I said, ma'am, if I get this RV, it's not going to be a luxury item. It's going to be the only roof over my head. Oh, she said, I wish you hadn't told me that. It's going to go worse for you now. I thought, what can be worse than no? What are you going to send, the Green Berets or take me off to the poorhouse? I didn't know what was worse than that. But I tell you what, after 18 times, everybody telling me the same answer, I was one disgruntled, frustrated, and angry preacher in Greenville, South Carolina. About that time, my wife kicked into preaching mode. And all God's men said, uh-oh. She came to me and she said, Paul, she said, where is your faith? And the Spirit of God came to me and said, yeah. Yeah, big shot evangelist, where's your faith? About that time, my wife said, heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the pianist plays Just As I Am. Young man, I see that hand. Why don't you come and get right? No, she didn't say that. But I tell you what, God took what my wife said and He began to apply it to my heart that day. And I realized my problem was not a bank problem. My problem was a faith problem. You know, I got out the old concordance and I started looking up the subject of faith in the Bible. I found out that after a man is saved, there are two types of faith that he can display. But before we go into that, let me explain to you very briefly that a man and a woman, a boy or a girl, can only be saved by faith. The Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You see, my friend, you can join this church and every other church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and it will not earn you favor with the Holy God. You can do all kinds of things. You can go to the catechism, do the rosary. You can be baptized. You can do all kinds of religious activities and it will not get you saved. You're only saved by faith. And if you've never been saved by faith, my friend, you need to come today and get that matter settled for time and eternity. But after a man is saved by faith, there are two types of faith that he can display. There's what is known as little faith in the Word of God. You know little faith. Well, the Bible says the disciples were out in the sea. And as they were in the sea, the Lord Jesus was in the bow of the ship. And all of a sudden, they were in the midst of a storm. And they came to the Savior and they said, Lord, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible says that Jesus came to them in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? I found little faith in Matthew chapter 6 where the Bible says, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I found out that day in my parents' house, I was a preacher of little faith. But there's another kind of faith that you and I can display. It's the faith of which we've read in Matthew chapter 15. It's called great faith. And I want you to understand today that God wants you and I to display great faith. The pastor tells me you've had a wonderful year. The pastor tells me of families that have joined the church. Individuals that have joined the church. A lot of great things happening around here. But I want you to know, God wants your faith to grow right now and in the year to come. Let's not let the blessings of the past allow us to get comfortable where we are. Let's go on. Let's have some greater faith. Let's trust God for greater things. And I want you to understand something this morning as we look into Matthew 15. In order to see great manifestations of God's power, you must display great faith. Now I want us to look what made this woman's faith great. You can go throughout the New Testament and this is a singular expression of faith. Great faith. What is it that made her faith great? I want you to notice some things that I believe made this woman's faith great. In verse 21, the Bible says, Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, outside the normal established boundaries of Israel. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me. And I want you to get this. O Lord, Thou Son of David. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. Number one, and as I come to this passage of Scripture and wonder, what is it that makes great faith great? Number one, great faith is great because of its object. I want you to notice, here was a woman who had a problem. We're going to look at her problem in a little bit. She could have gone to a whole lot of other people, but instead she went to God. Let me say, there are a whole lot of people that have problems, and in their problems today, they're going to all kinds of different people to solve their problems. And may I say, they're going to the wrong people to solve their problems. If you're going to some pope or some religious system, you're going to the wrong person to solve your problems. If you go down to the self-help books and try to find out what the latest Christian witch doctor has to say, or psychologist, excuse me, you find out what they have to say, let me tell you, you're going to the wrong source. Your object of faith needs to be in God alone. You go to anybody and they'll say, well, yeah, I have faith. When I go home to North Carolina, praise God, Carolina bus for me. I've been cold for the last 2 weeks in Indiana. But anyway, when I go home to North Carolina, there are some people that have faith in their Carolina Panthers. Now let me say, I like football, and every now and then I might even root for the Panthers, but if your faith is in the Carolina Panthers, you got problems. Hey, if your faith is in the Colts, you got problems. If your faith is in anything, but there's a whole lot of people that have a whole lot of faith in a lot of different things, a lot of different people, I'm saying to you, great faith is great when the object is not man, the object is God. Let me say, there's a whole lot of people, a whole lot of churches that want to grow in this area. I'm going to come down to fellowship with you. You preacher boys won't mind this, I hope. All right. There's a whole lot of churches that want to grow in this area and all across the country. But you know what they're doing? Instead of going to a Holy Bible to see God's manual for church growth, they're going to Madison Avenue. They're saying, hey, how can I grow this church? How can I market my ministry? Let me say, if you want to grow this church, you want to grow your Christian life, you want to grow anything, you better do it by God's way. Some people say, well, preaching doesn't work in our day and age. People want the lights and the sounds and all that. My friend, you stick with God's way, because great faith is great because of its object. When I turn my eyes toward God and I put my eyes upon Him, that, my friend, is great faith. You can talk about all kinds of things today. You can talk about national defense. Our president, he's done some things that I appreciate, but it made me uneasy after September 11th when he told Americans they should look to their government. Because, my friend, it is, I suppose, reasonable for the government to protect us, but the Bible says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let me put that in modern day English. Some trust in F-18 Hornets. Some trust in satellites. Some trust in the special forces. But we better remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. How about our bodies? Our bodies. You know, we get sick and we go to the doctor. Oh, doctor, what something is wrong here? Or the same. You know what the doctor does? He has a big book. He normally doesn't let you see it. But he has a big book. He opens up that big book and says, okay, these symptoms, all right, it's probably this. That's what he does. I mean, if I could get a hold of the big book, I could be in the big bucks too. But that's what he does. You know what the Bible says about one man that got sick? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was great, exceeding great. Now get this. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but he sought the physicians. Now, it's not wrong to go to the doctor, but I'm saying your trust had better be in the Lord, not the almighty medicine. And when it comes to great faith, this woman's faith was great because she trusted in her God and no one else. She was very plain here. She said, O Lord, Thou Son of David. No question in her mind who it was that had the answer for her problem. I'm going to leave you one more verse as we talk about the object of our faith. And please, let this burn in your soul. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, the Bible says, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. My friend, the Bible says that when you and I rely upon our own strength instead of on our God, we are under the curse of the Almighty. And this woman's faith was great because of the object of her faith. I want you to notice number two, this woman's faith was great because of the obstacles. Verse 22, the Bible says, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. And here she says it, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. You know, as I go throughout the New Testament, I find a lot of people who were demon-possessed. And yet, the language that is used here is singular language. Nowhere in the rest of the Bible will you find anyone that is described as being grievously vexed with a devil. I don't know all the ramifications of that, but I do know this young lady had a serious problem. I read about a young man in Mark chapter 5 who was vexed with the devil. The Bible says that the boy couldn't go on a camping trip. You know why? Because the devil would try to throw him into the fire to destroy him. That boy's daddy could never take him fishing on a summer day. You know why? Because that demon would try to throw that boy in the water to destroy him. That's the kind of thing that one demon-possessed person had to face. I don't know what this woman had to face, but I do know it was a problem. And I'm telling you today that in order to display great faith, you are going to have to go through great obstacles. Let me explain it to you this way. If everything is going well in your life, if the bills are paid, you just got a raise at work, and you go to work with a smile on your face, that doesn't tell the unsaved world a thing. Because when their bills are paid, when they just got a raise at work, they go to work with a smile on their face too. But you know what? When the obstacles come, and you still display the joy of the Lord, they take note. And they say there is something different about that person. And I'm saying to you today that great faith is displayed in great obstacles. I want you to notice this woman had a demon-possessed girl, but her problem is about to get worse. Notice verse 23. She comes to the Lord Jesus, but He answered her not a word. Let me say, there are going to be times in your life where it's that way. You're going to go to God, not man. You're not going to seek man. You're going to go to God. You're going to say, Lord, You have the answer to my problems. You're going to get down on your knees. You're going to pray. You're going to seek His face. And it seems that the heavens are silent. And when that happens, the demons of hell are going to camp out on your shoulder. And they're going to say, you see, God is not all He said He would be. Let me tell you, when that happens, that's not the time to give up on God. That's the time to trust Him more, because great faith is displayed in the obstacles. But I want you to notice this woman's problem is about to get worse. The Bible says His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's following after the Lord. Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Lord, You have the answer to my problems. And He doesn't answer. The disciples say, hey, Lord, will you get rid of this woman? She's bothering us. Let me say, there are going to come times in your life where you go to lean on a Christian brother, a Christian sister. You think that they ought to be there for you. You think that they ought to be there to feel your pain and to help you bear your burden. And they're not going to be there. And when that happens, the demons of hell are going to get on your shoulder. And they're going to say, you see, your God and God's people are not faithful to you. Let me say, that's not the time to give up on God. That's the time to remember that great faith is displayed in great obstacles. But this woman's problem is about to get worse. The Bible says, verse 24, He, that's the Lord Jesus, but He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Whoa, let's go back and read that again. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you realize what He's saying? He's saying, ma'am, your skin is not the right color. Ma'am, you were not born into the right family. I'm not going to help you, ma'am, because you're not a Jew. That's what He said. He said, I am not sin, but I'm the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me say, there are going to come times in your life where it seems that the God of the Bible is being unfair. You're going to look around and you're going to see the workings of God, and you're going to say, hey, God is singling me out for some unfair treatment. And you're going to be tempted to give up on God. Let me say that when that happens, that is not the time to give up on God. That's the time to cling to Him more tenaciously and realize great faith is displayed in great obstacles. But this woman's problem is about to get worse. Would you look please at verse 25? Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Can you feel her pathos here? Can you see her tear as it drops down onto the dusty earth of Tyre and Sidon? Can you hear the trembling in her voice? Can you see her allow her hair to cover her face so that no one else but the Savior will know of her tears? Can you feel her heartbeat here? She's pouring out her heart to God. And yet I want you to notice verse 26. But He, Jesus, answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I don't know of a more stinging insult that the Savior might have hurled. And here again, as we look at this through human eyes, we are aghast. Can the One who stood and said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now He turns and says, ma'am, it is not fitting, it is not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now let me say, that's a parable. A little bit of a parable. Here's what Jesus meant. Jesus said, ma'am, my power is the bread. The children are the Jews. You, ma'am, are a dog. The bread is given to the children. The bread is not given to the dog. Ma'am, you are a dog. I have the power, the bread, and my bread is not intended for you, a dog. Let me say, that is nothing less than the Son of God, at least to our minds, hurling an insult at this woman. There are a whole lot of people that would have gone away offended that day. They would have lived the rest of their life with a demon-possessed daughter because they would have gone away saying, God is not fair. Maybe I'm talking to somebody in here, in this building this morning, and you've been through a similar circumstance. You have looked around and you have seen the disease that God has placed in your life. You have seen the loss of a child that God has placed in your life. You have seen all kinds of things and you have looked around and said, my God is not fair. And I'm here in church this morning, but in my heart there's bitterness and anger toward the Son of God because He was not all that He said He would be. You know, as we look at the story through human eyes, it certainly seems that that's the case. But I want you to remember that known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. I want you to understand that God Almighty could look and He could see the end from the beginning. He could see that this woman in Canaan would be able to endure great obstacles because in her heart was great faith. And I'm going to prove it to you as we look at verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. May I say that is the response that faith always brings? The Savior has effectively looked at her and said, ma'am, you can't be helped. You're not a Jew. Truth, Lord. Ma'am, you can't be helped. You're a dog. And the bread is intended for the children and you're a dog. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. She accepts what He says by faith without asking a question. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Verse 27, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Do you realize what she's saying here? She takes up the parable of the Son of God and she says, yes, Lord, it's true. All that you've said. Lord, I'm a Gentile. I'm a dog. Yes, Lord, it's true. And Lord, your power is intended for the Jews. Yes, Lord, I know that's true. I know that's true. Lord, whatever you say is true. But Lord, I want you to understand, I don't need a whole piece of bread today. I don't need a whole loaf of bread today. Lord, even on the table, there's little crumbs that fall and they let the dogs have them. Lord, you are so powerful. You are so great that all I need is a crumb of your power, would you let me have a little crumb today? Because just a crumb of your great power will meet my great need. And I say to you that great faith is displayed in great obstacles. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 28. Because great faith is great because of the object. Great faith is great because of the obstacles. But verse 28 tells me that great faith is great because of the outcome. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I find that fascinating. It's a blank check on the power of God. Whatever you want. Now, let me hasten to say that this woman had proved to all mankind forever, as long as the Bible will stand, that what she wanted was in line with the will of God. And that is where we seriously differ with the charismatics. You see, what this woman wanted was in line with God's will, and she refused to be denied when it seemed like Jesus was against her. Jesus was going to grant her request. He was just wanting to hold her up as an example of great faith. And I'm saying to you today that if you and I want to see great demonstrations of the power of God, you and I must display great faith. You see, every crisis of our life is a faith crisis. You have some sin in your life, some difficulty that you have a hard time overcoming. It's a crisis of faith. Is God all that He said He would be? Do you trust Him? You have some crisis of provision. Is God all that He said He would be? Do you trust Him? And the answer to our problems is great faith. You know, as we look to a coming year and you as a church look to doing greater things for God, let me warn you of something. God Almighty, as He looks out over Indianapolis, Indiana, the west side of the city and all of the areas that we can reach and Plainfield and all the areas that this church can reach, God wants to do great things among you. But may I warn you, don't limit God. You say, Brother Paul, limit the Almighty God? It has been done, and it is being done. Psalm 78 is a psalm that tells a story. The story of the children of Israel. And in Psalm 78 and verse 41, the God of the Bible says, yea, they turned back and tempted God, and I want you to get this, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not limit Pharaoh with his great armies. That would have been something remarkable. They did not limit Moses. There was no man like Moses whom the Lord knew face to face. They did not limit those. They limited God Himself. How did they limit God? They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They limited God through their unbelief. Our Lord Jesus Himself came, and in Matthew chapter 13, He returned to His hometown. He was there conversant among them, and He was talking among them, and they were offended at Him. And the Bible says in Matthew 13 and verse 58, He did not many mighty works among them. Why? Because He was unwilling? No. Because He was unable? No. Because of their unbelief. And I'm saying to you today, Faith Baptist Church, let's be people of great faith as we look to this new year. I am certainly no great paragon of trust when it comes to my relationship with God. But God has put me in some situations that where I've had to trust Him. One was earlier this year. It so happened that I was in Newcastle in the month of January, preaching a revival meeting. Now, that's all well and good, but when you live in a trailer, it can get a little bit rough. I will never forget, as I turned into Brother Denny Neal's parking lot, my front tires lost traction in the snow. My back tires kept right on going, so it took me at about, 5 or 10 miles an hour, took me right into the guy wire of a telephone pole. Now, I'm Southern born and Southern bred, and when I die, I'll be Southern dead. That made me really nervous. I see snow falling, I think, boy, I better get inside quick. Better not get out. Better put another log on the fire because the snow's coming. That's the way I think. And so I told my wife after that meeting, I said, sweetheart, we have got to get south. We've just got to get south. So we started out going south. I knew I had a meeting scheduled in Arizona, and after that I had several scheduled in California. But I also believe the Lord wanted me to drive, take my trailer that He provided. And so we started out, we got to Atlanta, Georgia. And Atlanta, Georgia, we had snow and sleet on the same night. I was planning to go across on Interstate 20. I looked at my wife. I said, baby, we have got to head further south. I mean, I'd have driven in the Gulf of Mexico if I could have. So we headed out south. We got to Mobile, Alabama, and hit Interstate 10. That was in the days when you could still drive across Interstate 10 without falling into the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, we headed out there. And, you know, by the time we got to Denham Springs, Louisiana, we were out of money. I had no idea how much it would cost to drive across this great country of ours. But by the time we got to Denham Springs, Louisiana, we were out of money. And so here's what I said. I said, well, we'll find an independent Baptist church. We'll ask them if we can park in their parking lot. It happened to be a Wednesday night. I said, we'll join them for Wednesday night service. So that's what we did. Found an independent Baptist church. The man said, oh, you're an evangelist coming through? Oh, he said, would you please join us for the service? We'd be so honored to have you. So we got in, parked the trailer, you know, everything was great. Went in, joined them for the service. Now the pastor said, before you come and join me for the service, poke your head in and say hello to the young people. And he told me where they were. I said, fine. So on a Wednesday night, I went in, poked my head in. The youth pastor said, you're an evangelist. Will you preach to my people? Then he backpedaled, pastor. He said, now, I don't want to put you out or make you uncomfortable. I said, no, sir, let's get this straight. I live to preach. I said, I would love to preach to your young people. So I got to preach to his young people that night. Never seen him before in my life. I now have an open door. That next morning, the pastor takes me out to breakfast. Now, understand, we're out of money. We got to get to Arizona driving. We're out of money. The pastor goes to an ATM. I don't know if he took it out of his own personal account. I don't know where it came from, but he gave us some money to get us on into Texas. We got into Houston, Texas. Similar thing happened. I met a pastor, had never seen him before, never knew him before, and he comes out the day that we were going to leave, and he gives us some money, gets us on to San Antonio. From San Antonio, we had to go all the way across to El Paso. Have any of you ever driven from San Antonio to El Paso? If you have never driven from San Antonio to El Paso, don't do it. It is more and more of less and less. It's not worth it unless you really love sagebrush. But anyway, we had to get to El Paso, Texas. We got to El Paso. We were out of money. Got into a church. The pastor said, sure, park in our parking lot. He had never seen me before, never heard of me before. He let me preach Sunday night and gave us a little more money to get us on to our first regularly scheduled meeting in Arizona.
You know what the best part of that story is? God didn't do that for me because I am a servant of the Lord. He didn't do that for me for that. Because you're a servant of the Lord too. God didn't do that for me because I'm an evangelist. God will do that for anybody who will simply step out on faith and trust Him. And some of you are going to be called to go through some deep waters. You better trust your God. Some of you are going to be called to go through some uncertainties. You better trust your God. Oh, by the way, my trailer. Called the dealer a couple weeks later and I said, by the way, have you found anybody that will give me financing this thing? Oh, he said, didn't I tell you? Oh, yeah, there's a bank in Evansville that'll take care of the whole thing. And all of that frustration and all of that worry was absolutely for naught. Except that it taught me that if you want to see great manifestations of God's power, you must display great faith. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to trust you. Thank you so much for this season and for this church and for all that you've done for this church. And I pray now that you would allow us and encourage us to be people who trust you more and more for our every need. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I have just a couple of questions to ask you. I wonder how many of you would be here today and you would say, Brother Paul, you spoke of being saved by faith. I understand what you're talking about, Brother Paul. Why, there was a time and a place where I repented of my sins and I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And Brother Paul, if I were to die this morning, I can give you a Bible reason why I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. I know that I'm saved this morning, been saved by faith. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? I know I'm saved, Brother Paul. There's no doubt in my mind. Just slip it up. Would you do that, please? I know that I'm saved. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I ask you this. I haven't preached a salvation message this morning, but let me ask you, would there be someone here that would say, Brother Paul, I'm not sure that I've been saved by faith. Either I don't understand what you're talking about or I don't know that I'm saved. I have some questions about that. If you have some questions about your salvation, one of the purposes of this church is to help you get that settled from a Bible perspective. You see, at Faith Baptist Church, we're not going to give you what the Pope says or what any other man has to say. We're going to take a Bible because we believe at Faith Baptist Church, if you're going to get to God's heaven, you've got to get there God's way. And God has only one way. I wonder, would you let me pray for you this morning? If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Paul, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'll not embarrass you, but I sure would love to pray for you. If you're here like that, you say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand right now? I'll see it and pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put that down. God bless you. There's another one. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else this morning? I'm not sure I'm saved, Brother Paul. I have some questions about it. I'll see your hand. I'll pray for you. Anyone else? All right, Christian, this morning, there were many of you that raised your hand saying, Brother Paul, I know that I'm saved. But how is your faith? Some of you need to trust your God. I'm talking to people in this room, you've been overcome with worry over a physical problem. I'm talking to people in this room, you've been overcome with worry over losing a job. I'm talking to people in this room that are overcome with worry about some ministry opportunity. You feel God wants you to go out, step out by faith and do it, but you're just afraid. And we're going to open up an old-fashioned altar this morning. If God has spoken to your heart. Now, I'm not saying, do you need more faith? Okay, all of us need more faith. But some of you in this room have had specific struggles in the area on which I just preached. And you need to come forward this morning. You need to get down and say, Lord, take my eyes off the wind and the sea that's boisterous around me and put my eyes back on Jesus and let me trust you through this difficulty. Here's my invitation to you. In a moment, I'm going to pray for several that raise their hands saying they're not sure that they're saved. Now, if you raised your hand just a moment ago saying, I'm not sure that you're saved, that I'm saved, I'm not sure that I'm saved, if that's what you said by the uplifted hand, I'm going to pray for you, but hear me, my prayer will not save you. In order to be saved, it must be a personal decision on your part. And here's what we invite you to do. There will be people standing at the front. The instrumentalist is going to play an invitation song. And during the music, we invite you to slip out of your seat and come forward. If you're not sure that you're saved, you need to tell someone at the front that. Maybe shake their hand and say, listen, I'm not sure that I'm saved. That's all you have to say. If you say that to them and you're a man, we'll have a man take a Bible and show you how you can be sure of your salvation. If you're a woman, we'll have a woman take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. But you do not have to leave this building this morning unsure of your salvation. After I pray and as we sing, if God has spoken to your heart as an unsaved person, I invite you to come. If God has spoken to your heart as a child of God, I invite you to come as well. Kneel here and say, Lord, turn my eyes back on you and let me trust you more. Father, you have seen the hands of those that raised the hand this morning. And Lord, I thank you for them. And I pray that salvation would be never so plain as it is this morning. I pray, Father, that they would understand and that they would trust Christ as Savior. And they would have Bible assurance of that before they return to their homes. I pray for other Christians in this room, Father, to whom you've spoken this morning. I pray that you would all turn our eyes upon our Savior and that we would trust you with all of our heart and with all of our soul. We ask it in Jesus' name.